Take your Bibles and join me this morning, if you would, in the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. Can you find your way there, please? Luke chapter 11. Again, welcome to those who are guests this morning. If this is your first time, or maybe first time in a long time, we're sure glad you're here. And really hope you enjoy the service. We're in a series of messages that we started the first Sunday of January called Always Abounding in Our Faith. And we're probably now, this is our fourth message in the series, and we got a long way to go. And so we're glad you're with us today. Now let me ask you to join me in chapter 11, verse 1. I'm going to read just a couple of verses of Scripture, and I want you to follow along with me. If you would. Verse 1 says, "It came to pass that as he was praying," now this is speaking about Jesus, "as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased," when he stopped praying, notice, one of his disciples said to him, asked him this question. He said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, would you teach us to pray?" As John, I think he was referring to John the Baptist, also taught his disciples, his followers. That's interesting, isn't it? Let's look at the response, verse 2. And Jesus said, he said unto them, "When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." Now, these are each one of these statements are it's just kind of like an onion when you peel back different layers of prayer, different prayer requests. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth." Look verse 3. "Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Lord, would you teach us to pray? As John taught his disciples to pray. You ever want to ask someone, "Would you teach me to pray?" Do you ever feel that urge? You get around church for a while, you start hearing a lot of things. You know, you get into church for any length of time, and you start to hear things. You're challenged, you know, to do things that maybe you're just unsure of, you're uncertain of, and maybe you've never done before. Maybe you're really not good at. Teach us to pray, right? And we get around people and they begin to pray. And I know this for myself. I've been around some people throughout the years and I've gotten into prayer with them. They've prayed. And when they were finished, I didn't, but I wanted to say something like this. "Would you teach me to pray like that?" I mean, they prayed in such a way where it's kind of like, well, they really know him. I never forget one time I went to my doctor's office and he was removing something from my body. Had a little cancer on my back, and before he started the procedure, he said, "Can I pray with you?" And I thought, oh no, this is not good. Where's he going with this? Is it that bad? No, I didn't say that. I knew what it was. And he's a Christian doctor. He's a Christian man. And he said, "Can I pray with you?" I said, "Sure, go ahead, doc, pray." You know, and man, I tell you what, he began to pray in such a way that I knew this man knew God. The way he spoke to him, it wasn't frivolous. It wasn't superficial. It wasn't phylacteries. It wasn't pretentious. I mean, he spoke to him in a way that I almost wanted to say to him, "So how did you learn how to pray that way? You're a doctor, you know?" And I thought to myself, it's important for us to learn to know how to pray, how to communicate with the Father. Amen. And so the disciples here, one of the disciples, I think speaking for all of the disciples, said in verse number 1, "Lord, would you teach us to pray?" And I want you to stay with me now and just get a little comfortable. And let me talk to you a bit about prayer this morning. Prayer is what we would call a spiritual discipline. And I emphasize the word discipline because it takes discipline to pray. And to pray consistently. And to pray regularly, and to pray often. It takes discipline to pray. And it's certainly an exercise of faith, is it not? Amen. Prayer is an exercise of faith. And as we said last week, that's how our faith grows. Our faith grows when you and I exercise spiritual disciplines. Kind of when you and I exercise our bodies, our muscles grow. Well, when we exercise our faith grows. And the way that occurs is through these spiritual disciplines. Our whole thought pattern on this series is for you and I to abound in the work of the Lord. Remember that? Right? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And part of the Lord's work, part of His work is redeeming us. He has redeemed us. Right? We're saved. We're born again. We're going to heaven because we placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? I love that song. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I know for sure that when I die, whenever that may be, I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm a good person. I'm a good person. You surprised me. I'm a decent guy. But I'm not going to heaven because I'm a decent guy. I'm not a good guy because I purchase a coffee for someone every once in a while, or open the door for someone, or I'm kind. No, I'm going to heaven because I'm saved. See, I'm a sinner who's been saved, and I got saved when I agreed with God that, yes, I am indeed a sinner. I know I need a Savior. I confess that You are the Savior, and I ask You to be my Savior. And guess what He did? He saved me just like He said He would. Amen. And now I'm redeemed, right? I'm redeemed. And now I need to grow. I need to abound in that work of redemption. And that's where it becomes practical. Talked about that over the last several weeks. And that means this. Now pay attention to this. It means that we are living a life that is God-dependent and God-aware. Amen. Right? Did you get that? Every day of my life now, and I've been saved for several years, I'm learning to live God-dependent. I'm depending on God, and I'm asking Him to make me, each day of my life, God-aware. Help me to be aware of You and my need for You. And that's how I live out my redemption. We live to please Him and honor Him in our daily life. And let me say this again, that takes a measure of faith. It takes faith. And our faith, we are called upon to grow our faith. Listen to Ephesians chapter number 3. Verse 17 on the screen says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, let me go on to verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. In other words, what he's saying is that we need to make sure that we are in our faith rooted and grounded so that we might grow. So that we might grow. The question then we tried to answer last time was this: how do we grow our faith? How do we grow? How do I have faith. I'm trusting God as my Savior. Jesus as my Savior. I believe in God. I believe the Bible. I believe I'm saved. I believe several things about my faith. But how do I grow it? And we had said this last time. We mentioned the need to apply or practice these spiritual disciplines. One such discipline is developing, you and I developing, a daily Bible reading routine. You remember that?
Yep.
Huh? Well, that means this, where you and I, each day of our lives, we try to do the best we can. If I miss today, I'll pick it back up tomorrow. I'm going to try to do my best to read the Bible consistently.
Amen.
Right? And what I did last week, because I love you. Ooh. What I did last time, because I love you so much, is I gave you some tips, some help on how to develop this Bible reading routine. How do we do it? Throw up the screen, guys. Change screen. Here's what we said. We need to carve out some time. Carve out some time. We need to have somewhat of a plan, some kind of a structure. We don't just wake up and say, oh, let me just, what do I read today? And no, we have some kind of a plan we're following. And then we want to get a good understanding of what we're reading. And so we ask questions, or maybe we use, remember I gave you a couple of plans that you can use, put on your specs, right? And then, or the what was the other one? The what? The SOAP method, you know? And so you want to get an understanding. And then, if all possible, begin the journal or get yourself a little notepad, maybe use your iPad, and begin to just write a few comments about what you read. And you'd be surprised how that grows and it becomes enjoyable. Or you can look back last week, last month, last year and say, boy, on this date last year, God spoke to me about, isn't that wonderful? And so we develop in our own lives this discipline where we begin to read the Bible on a regular basis. I'm not going to ask you this so that you would respond, but I would like to ask you if you have a daily Bible reading routine. Do you read your Bible often? Do you read it daily? Do you read it every day? I tell you what, it'll give you strength. It'll help your faith to grow. But I want to add to that list today. I want to add to that list this morning, daily prayer. Daily prayer. And then I want to teach us, I want to talk to us just a little bit about how to pray. How do we pray? Go back to our text for a second. The disciples say to Jesus, and I love this, Lord, would you teach us to pray? Now think about that for a second. I preached out of this verse of Scripture, I can't tell you how many times, because I'm impressed by it. And I look at it this way. So here's how I picture it. As I'm reading that text, I picture the disciples with Jesus in a moment of prayer. And Jesus is praying to the Father. And he's praying, like I said a little bit ago, like he knew him. Like he had a close relationship with him. You know, he didn't get into prayer and said, oh, God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, I think he prayed something like this, Father, it's me. And I need you right now more than any other time. Do you see the difference? See, he wasn't praying to impress. Do you ever pray with somebody and they put their prayer voice on? Jay, you know, right? We pray with people. They put their prayer voice on. I mean, we're talking just like this. And you say, Pastor, would you pray? Sure. Oh, God in heaven. Who is that guy? Right? And it's almost the Lord said, huh? Right? Put his prayer voice on. You know, so, but I think when I read that, I just get this, I get impressed by the fact that he's praying, right? And the disciples are there with him, you know. And by the way, let's just be real. These guys weren't spiritual giants. I mean, oftentimes when he was praying, they fell asleep, kind of like you do when I'm preaching. Oh, my. You got an amen right there. Yeah. So I think this, Brian, I think when he was praying that they were so impressed by the way he prayed that they said to him, Lord, would you teach us to pray like that? I mean, you got to read that and fill in the blanks sometime. You just read it matter of factly. But man, they're with him and they're in an intimate setting with him. And I think they were so impressed by how he was praying. They said, Lord, would you teach us to pray like that? Would you teach us to get a hold of God like that? Would you teach us to communicate like that? Never before will you ever see the disciples asking the Lord to teach them to do anything. Do you ever read the Bible? I don't see any of the disciples say, Lord, would you teach us how to do miracles like that? Would you teach me to preach like that? Would you teach me to tolerate people like that? Would you teach me to judge people like that? I'd ask that one, Lord, I like to zap them. Would you teach me how to do that? You know? No, he just said, Lord, would you teach us to pray? Would you teach? And in response, he teaches them or he gives them what we would call this model. And I want to break it apart for us this morning because I want to help you. This is basic stuff. But I'll be honest with you, the basics are important. You never graduate from the basics. And we always need to be reminded of how important some of these basics are. And so look at this real basic prayer that Jesus, this model. He doesn't, by the way, let me say this and be clear with this. He didn't say when you pray this prayer. And by the way, just for your own benefit, this is not the Lord's Prayer. If you want to read the Lord's Prayer, you would read John chapter 17. And that's where Jesus really prayed to the Father. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Use this as a model. And if I break it down for us, I would say this. Jesus says this, when you pray, ask God to meet your needs. There you go. Ask God to meet your needs. He said, Preacher, where'd you get that from? Well, look at verse number 3. He said, give us day by day our daily bread. May I suggest to you this morning, daily bread represents points of need. Amen. And every one of us, we're born with needs. Would you just get real this morning? Just say it right now with me, I am needy. I already knew that. We're all needy. We're born with needs, right? Think about it. Can any of us exist without oxygen? No. Did you ever try? Let's try it. You ready? Barry, you try this with me. And no cheating. See how long you can go. Now, we need oxygen. They say that you need water more than you need food. But I'll be honest with you, I'd rather to eat than drink. I'd rather have a bowl of pasta than a bottle of water. But I live longer with water than I will food. So, but basic needs, correct? God created us that way, Raj. You can't live without. Roger, you need sleep. Fidelia, give him one of those. Go ahead. Raj, you need sleep. This man works almost 24 hours a day. You need to sleep every once in a while. And not while I'm preaching, Raj. But there are other needs that we have. For example, pay attention right here. Now, let's get serious. We have emotional needs. Go ahead, take a deep breath. Take that in for a second. We have emotional needs. We all do. And we don't want to wear our feelings on our shirt sleeves. We don't want to wear it on our face. But deep down inside, every person sitting in this room, including the guys standing here behind this podium, we have emotional needs. We have relational needs. Look here. I need that woman, the last woman on the row. Kelly's sitting right there. The last woman. Let's not confuse what woman I'm talking about. Yeah, I need her. Last night I was watching a couple of basketball games. I was sitting in my favorite chair, and I can see into the kitchen from where I'm sitting, Tyler, and I happened to look back, and she was busy as a bee making me supper, dinner, making my meal. And I thought, I looked over and I said, man, do I need her? But I need her for more than that. She's a great support. I came downstairs today. I promise you. Came downstairs this morning. Came down, read, prayed, went back up, showered and got dressed. Came back down. She had my coffee made in my tumbler. My car started. Now, fellas, I know she's good. And I'm trying to help you here. My car was started. Now, she don't go out and do it. We got a remote, you know, so that way I don't have to be cold. You tell me that's not awesome. Huh? And you know what I did, Roz? I made sure I said, boy, thank you. You're beautiful. I love you. You look beautiful today. James, you getting this? gave her a mooch, gave her a kiss before I left. Love you. Be careful driving to church. Why? Because I want dinner when I get home. My mama didn't raise no fool, right, Chuck? Amen. So we have needs, don't we? And some of those needs are deeper than the surface. We have emotional, relational needs, and we have spiritual needs. We have every one of us, we have spiritual needs. And so when Jesus says here to his disciples, you know, in your prayer, don't forget to ask God to meet your needs, he meant that. And daily bread means more than food. It's talking about points of need. You may not believe this, but I promise you this morning, I thank God that my lungs are working and that I'm able to breathe. I did. Thank Him for working lungs, because I've been around people with COPD and bad asthma and so on. And so lung cancer. I'm glad I'm able to breathe. A deep breath. I thank them for my lungs this morning, and I need oxygen. Are you with me? But I also know that I have other needs that are deeper. And Jesus said this, I can bring my points of need to Him, whatever they may be. And I'm not going to become a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a therapist this morning. But I hope you're getting what I'm saying. You know, when you look into the Bible, you find needy people all over the place. For example, Adam needed companionship. Hagar needed water. Ruth needed a kinsman redeemer. The Israelites needed food in the wilderness. The widow back in Elisha's time needed oil. The city of Nineveh needed revival. Amen. Blind Bartimaeus needed vision. The Apostle Paul needed a rope and a basket to get out of Damascus. Do you remember? The churches of Judea needed financial assistance, and on and on and on and on it goes. Meaning this, you and I are walking bundles of need. We have needs. And Jesus said this, when you pray, when you pray, you can ask God to meet your needs. So, Lord, teach us to pray. He says, okay, when you pray, make sure you ask God to meet your needs. I like that. Amen. See, you might think right off at the top, you know, when you pray, pray for others. He said, no, you can't pray for others until you pray for yourself. Is it wrong to pray for yourself? No, because nobody can pray for you like you can pray for you. Nobody knows you like you know you. Amen? And I'm not sure this morning what your need, your special need may be, but I'm sure you have one, and that daily bread represents that special need, and the Lord wants you to know that you can bring that need to Him. Amen? I've coined all kinds of phrases through the years, and I've been preaching for a few years. And so some of you have heard me preach for some time, like Jason or my daughter, Nicole, who've been hearing me preach for 40 years. Well, not that long, but they hear me say certain things. But I like this. I like to say it because it reminds me. Look here, when you pray, you have to realize this, that what touches you touches Him.
Amen.
Did you get that? Whatever in this world touches you touches Him. And what you care about, He cares about. I used to tell teenagers this all the time, that sometimes they think that when they pray, they just have to pray about the thing God cares about. No, pray about what you care about, because what you care about, He cares about. And so it's not wrong every day to say, Lord, today, I'm telling you something right now. I got to go to work, and there's somebody I work with that I don't like them. And if I had my way, well, I'd tell them how I feel about them. But Lord, would you help me please today? Hello? I'm not talking about anybody I work with. Carrie's sitting right here. And Tyler's sitting right there. And Isaac's sitting there. And Nathan's over here. No, I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people you work with, not the ones I work with. I work with saints. You get what I'm saying? You want me to move on? I thought you'd say no. Keep give me more. And so he said this, when you pray, ask God to meet your needs. But then as you move on down here, because it doesn't stop at verse 4. In verse number 5, he gives him a second layer, right? You're peeling back an onion. He gives him a second layer, and he says this. So ask God to meet your personal needs, and then ask God persistently. Persistently. We know what that means. Huh? You know how to bug somebody. Look up here. How many of us know how to bug somebody? Huh? How many of us know how to get on that phone and just keep calling that bill collector or that electric company or that? Huh? We know how to be persistent. Look what he says here. He tells a story. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? Now he's telling a story. It's like a parable. And shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, let me 3 loaves. Give me some food. Why? Well, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And by the way, this is custom in those days. When somebody came and visited you, you had to provide them with food. I mean, that was just a custom. And so he said, and he from within shall answer and say, so you're knocking at somebody's door, and you say to that person, hey, I have a guest in my house. I don't have enough food. Would you lend me some food? Would you give me some food? And the fellow inside the house says, verse 7, he answers and says, trouble me not. The door is shut. I'm in bed with my kids. I'm not getting up. Huh? Right? Somebody's knocking at your door. Who's out there? It's me, Tyler. What do you want? It's midnight. Pastor Barry and Carol just stopped by. I got no bread. I don't care about Barry and Carol. I'm in bed with my kids, man. That's pretty much the way it was. Right? Go home. See you tomorrow. The guy said, all right. No, he didn't. No, he just kept at it. He kept at it. And look at verse number 8. He says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity. So here's what he says. The fella didn't get out of bed and give him some food because he was his friend. He got out of bed and gave him some bread because he wouldn't stop knocking. I didn't make this up. He says, verse number 9. And I say unto you. So again, he's carrying on. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. And so the whole idea here in this text of Scripture, and I know this could become somewhat questionable for some of us. But what the Lord is saying here is simply this. Sometimes we need to keep praying about a certain item.
Amen.
Right? You've noticed this, right? You've noticed this. If you're a prayer, I almost said prayer warrior, but I'm not even sure what that means. If you're a prayer, you know sometimes God answers prayers pretty quickly. Right? I remember when I pastored in the city, I would often have to go down to Center City and go to either Pennsylvania Hospital, University of Pennsylvania Hospital, Thomas Jefferson Hospital, Hahnemann Hospital. I was there all the time. All the time. And I remember not wanting to go into the parking lot because it was a hassle. I didn't care about the money. It was a hassle. And so on my way down, I begin to pray, God, would you please give me a parking spot? Would you please give me a parking spot? Give me a parking spot where I can get in and out, in and out, in and out. Now, I would have to drive around the block a couple times. But I guarantee you, almost every time, he gave me a parking spot. Yeah, and when he didn't, I just pull up on the pavement and say, I guess this is where God wants me to park. You can pray. Look here, you can pray about anything. And you can pray persistently. And that's the way God would have it. Because sometimes, I mean, it's just... But then there's those prayers, right? Help me here. There's those prayers you've been praying for a long time. How many of us have been praying for things for a long time? Long time. You've heard this testimony. I'll say it again, however, real quick. We prayed for my grandfather for over 40 years to be saved. Over 40 years. We never stopped praying for him. Witness to him. He'd come to church, pray. You know he got saved? He got saved at 40 years. He is 95 or 6 years old, died when he was 101. But he got saved when he was, what, 95, 96? He prayed for 40 years. He got saved. And so what God's saying? God's saying simply this. You and I, we have to pray and keep praying. Luke 18. You can look, don't look there now. Luke 18, verse number 1. He talks about prayer and he says, men ought always pray and not faint. So, Lord, teach us to pray. How should we pray? All right, so when you pray, ask God to meet your daily needs. Right? And be honest with him. Lord, today I'm feeling rather, I'm anxious. I'm feeling nervous. I'm fearful. I'm borderline depressed. I'm feeling melancholy. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling jealous. I'm feeling... You mean you can mention that to God? He already knows it.
Amen. That's right.
Huh? So when you pray, I mean, ask God to meet you and then pray persistently, is what he said. That's how he answers them. That's his answer to prayer. Teach us to pray. Okay? He didn't say, get on your knees before God. Make sure you carve out, 3 or 4 hours. Learn Hebrew, Greek, and a little bit of Italian. No. That's how we make it. We make it grievous. Huh? Look here. You can pray sitting down. You know some of my best prayer positions? Man, I'm going to give you all my secrets now. Some of my best prayer positions is when I'm in my recliner, I'm reading, all of a sudden God impresses me, and I take my glasses off, I lay my head back, I raise my hands like this, and I just talk to him. You mean, Pastor, you don't have to get on your knees? I'm not saying don't get on your knees, but I don't always get on my knees. Sometimes I'm just like this here. Huh? Yeah. Why? Because God don't care what your posture is. All that matters is the position of your heart and the position of your prayers. Just pray. 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 And then finally, he says this to them in verses 9 down through verse number 13. He says, when you ask, you need to ask in childlike faith. Childlike faith. I'm going to tell you something right now. There are certain times when it's okay to be like a kid. Huh? There's some times when you don't want to hear somebody say, grow up. No, not when praying. He said, pray like a kid. Pray like a child. You know what he's saying there? You know, when a child asks their father for something, they expect they expect to receive. Right? I mean, you don't go to your dad and say, hey, dad, they're doing this down at school. They're doing this over at church youth group. They're doing this. And you expect, how much is it? What's it going to cost? What do I need to do? Where I need to take you? And so when he says pray, he said pray in childlike faith. Look at it. Verse 9, he said, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be. By the way, that's another message in and of itself because it's talking about different layers of prayer. Sometimes prayer is like asking. Sometimes prayer is like seeking. And sometimes prayer is like knocking. Right? And there's a principle right in the middle of that that says this. You only get what you ask for. You only get what you seek. It'll only open if you knock. Do every once in a while, Lord, I'm knocking today. I'm knocking. Let's read on. He said, for everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be. Why? If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Now you know what he's saying there. Will you turn him away? Will you not meet his need? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him? Isn't that good? Hey, look here. We're talking about redeemed people. We're talking about those who are born again, who have been adopted into God's family. Those who now we call Him not only Almighty God, but Heavenly Father. And because He's our Father, He gives us what we need. He knows how to meet our needs. I like that, don't you? And so Jesus uses this comparison here of an earthly father and a heavenly father. And he says this, he's going to make provision. And he mentions the Holy Spirit, which is a whole other message in and of itself, which we'll get to in this series. But I like that because the Spirit promises. You know, when Jesus said this, I need to go to the Father. Now I'm almost finished. Jesus said, I need to descend. He came to earth, right? Lived for 33 years, died on the cross, was buried, rose again. 40 days later, He ascended back up into heaven. But here's what He said to His disciples. He says, I got to go. And when I go, I'm going to send you another comforter. That word another means one and the same. It's the same thing. Right? I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And He will. And He's got a long ministry. He's going to teach you and guide you and enable you and enlighten you. So when you read your Bible, how do I understand that the Holy Spirit? I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And He begins to meet our needs. And so what Jesus is saying is this in this text of Scripture. Teach us to pray. Okay, when you pray, you need to ask God to meet your needs. Ask persistently. Ask like a child. And God is going to meet your needs through the Holy Spirit. Man, that's rich. That's rich. I like that. But I want to conclude with one verse of Scripture. Flip it up on the screen, guys. Look at this Bible verse. This is John. The Apostle John, Gospel of John, John the Beloved, John. Who, by the way, would call himself John the Beloved. The one who laid his head against the breast of Jesus. The one who tried to get real close to Him. Right? John. And John says this, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. It's as simple as this. Pay attention here. I'm going to finish. It's as simple as asking and receiving. That's a prayer. That's the way it ought to be. Right? We ask and we receive. Teach us to pray. We ask and we receive. Let me ask you, has that been your experience? Has that been your experience? Or are you like the little boy who prayed, dear God, Aunt Harriet hasn't gotten married yet. Uncle Herbert, he doesn't have any work yet, and Daddy's hair's still falling out. He said this, Lord, I'm getting tired of praying without results. And I think if many of us would be honest, a lot of our prayers are unanswered. You say, why is that, Pastor? There's a lot of reasons why. James says sometimes we ask and we ask amiss because we're trying to consume it based upon our own lusts. We're just missing it. But can I say that sometimes we don't receive because we don't ask? We're just not asking. We're not asking. Jesus speaks about praying and getting results. And that's the way God intended it to be. Prayer means asking and receiving. Asking and receiving. Amen? But sometimes we pray without any expectation at all. All right, I'll pray about it. Hey, let's pray. All right, I'll pray with you. But you'd rather be looking up somebody's phone number so you can get some help. No expectation at all. I read a story about a man who was interviewing some people in the Holy Land about prayer. And so he saw a Muslim and he said to the Muslim, he said, "Hey, can I ask you a question?" The Muslim said, "Sure." He said, "Do you pray?" The Muslim said, "Five times a day." The man says, "Does it work?" The Muslim said, "Every time." The interviewer saw another guy. He was a Christian. He said to the Christian, "Hey, excuse me, can I ask you a question?" The fellow said, "Sure." He said, "Do you pray?" He said, "I pray every day." The interviewer asked, "Does it work?" The Christian said, "All the time." The interviewer was walking through the courtyard, and there was the Wailing Wall. You know what the Wailing Wall is? The western wall of the temple. It's where the Orthodox Jews go, and you see pictures of them, and they stand against the wall for hours, and they just pray. So the interviewer was walking through, and he saw one of the Orthodox Jews take a break, and he said to him, "Hey, can I ask you a question?" And the Jewish man said, "Sure." He said, "Do you pray?" He said, "What do you think I'm doing?" And that was better than you just let on. That was my Jewish interpreter. "What do you think I'm doing?" He said, the interviewer said, "Does it work?" And the Jewish man said this. He said, 40% of the time. The interviewer said, 40% of the time? He said, "What about the other 60%? He said, "The other 60% of the time is like talking to a wall." You thought I was going somewhere deep with that, didn't you? But that is deep. Because 60% of the time, our prayers are like talking to the wall, maybe the ceiling. Why is that? Why do we go through life with unanswered prayer? Top two reasons. A, we don't pray. B, we don't pray with expectation. Amen. I can give you a lot of other reasons, but they're the top two. Look here, if you and I, if we're going to grow our faith, we must practice these spiritual disciplines of reading and praying. Sunday school song, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll... That was weak, weak, weak. And you'll grow, grow, grow. Huh? Do you know the flip side? Don't read your Bible, don't pray every day, and you'll... I knew you knew it, Carrie. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Huh? You want to learn a great truth this morning? Sing it with me. You ready? Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll... It sounded pretty good. Amen. Let me encourage you, church. Spiritual disciplines. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labors are not in vain in the Lord. Always abounding. Right? It begins with you and I having a Bible reading routine daily and a daily time for prayer. I pray you begin to incorporate some of these truths into your life. And if they are there, I pray that they continue to grow. Amen? Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, no one looking about. If you're being baptized this morning, we encourage you now to make your way to the changing area. We'll baptize in just a moment or two. Just bow with me for prayer. If you're visiting with us, this is a time where we just ask God to help us to do something with the message we just heard. This is a time for you to get alone with God now and say, "God, please help me to practice what just has been preached. Place it in my life." If you're here and you're not sure of your salvation, if you're not sure that heaven is your home and when you die you're going to go there, well then, friend, we'd like to encourage you this morning to consider asking Christ to be your Savior. Jesus died on the cross for you. And He wants to give you today eternal life. So if you're not sure you're saved, today might be just a perfect day to get that settled. But if you are saved, let me encourage you to consider these spiritual disciplines. Reading your Bible, having prayer on a regular basis, and asking God to help you to grow, to mature as God would want you to be. Father, please work in hearts and minds and lives today. Cause us to make good, solid decisions as Christian folk, to read our Bibles and pray, and practice these spiritual disciplines. And then if, Lord, there's someone here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that maybe today they would consider placing their faith, their trust in what Christ did on that cross for them. Payment for sin, accepting Jesus as their personal Savior. Maybe today will be the day they get it settled once and for all. For those being baptized, we pray this morning that you'll bless them with, Lord, just abundance. May they grow in their Christian faith now as they take this step of obedience. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.